Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Confident, aren't we?
Hardly. But if you win, you'll be out of work.
I will not stop until I've rid the world of every last one of you.
I am the last one!
Hello! Welcome to Rewatchability. It's the show where we rewatch movies and TV shows from yesteryear and see how they hold up today. I've never said yesteryear before, have I?
I don't think so. It sounded very wistful.
Yeah. Well, we're all stuck inside. I feel wistful.
Yeah, wistful for any year that's not this one.
We're an Entertainment One podcast, and we have a mini episode this week to talk about some pop culture stuff. We have an email to read, and we also are going to tell you about the movie we're going to do next week on the show, so you can watch along with us. Should we just get right into it?
Let's get into it.
Next week on the show, we're going to be talking about Dragonheart, the 1996 Dennis Quaid / dragon movie.
Not just any dragon. I mean, you can't,
a Welsh
you can't
dragon.
Pave over the fact that it's Sean Connery. He's Scottish.
James Bond as a dragon.
Wait, did you think Sean Connery was Welsh?
Isn't he Welsh? What is he?
No, he's Scottish.
He's like the most Scottish.
You can't just paint the entire British Isles with one brush. One isle is particularly plaid.
hard brush to paint with. That one.
Well, we hope you can watch Dragonheart along with us. I don't know about elsewhere in the world, but here in Canada, it's streaming on Netflix.
Yes.
Oh, man. So I searched so far and wide for it, everywhere except Netflix. God damn it.
You went on a quest.
It was my great quest to find
you
this movie.
You went to a cave. You slayed a dragon to find this movie.
Yeah. God damn it.
So we on these mini episodes, we talk about the first time we saw Dragonheart. So Rob, think back. 1996. You were a kid, right?
I believe so, yes. Unless I had the Benjamin Button's disease. I remember seeing this movie. I think that we rented it from the video store. And like I was, I think, as any kid that age, into the fantasy elements. And also, like, I think what was really impressive about this movie was that it had a fucking dragon. Because before CG, yeah. I mean, things, you had like a 50-50 shot of whether it was going to look fearsome and like, you know, like a dragon, or whether it was going to look like a Muppet. So when this like CG dragon movie, when I saw the trailers for it, I was blown away. I was excited. And so I remember when I got to see it, I was stoked. And I remember it being okay. Like, I loved it because Sean Connery was the voice of the dragon, and of course, I already love Sean Connery from Zardoz, not from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, but I remember being a little bit underwhelmed by it. However, I mean, years have passed, I thought perhaps there was more to this movie, so I was excited to watch it again. What about you, Blaine?
Yeah, I remember the trailers coming out and thinking that it was going to be truly stunning and amazing. I mean, Jurassic Park had come out just a little bit before, right? And so we got to see some CG, and it was good CG.
Like, peak CG.
It might have been peak CG. So getting a dragon out of that, you know, that's exciting. That's like, I mean, kids these days, they have the Game of Thrones. That's just dragons every frame, you know? Just
kids these days with that show that ended a year ago.
And I was excited to see, like you, Rob, a CG dragon. But, you know, Dennis Quaid was in there too. I had no feelings about Dennis Quaid at the time. I was the kids those days. So I didn't really, I wasn't like in love with Dennis Quaid as an actor or anything. You know?
Yeah, I feel like Dennis Quaid is like a runner-up Kevin Costner. In fact, when you mentioned this movie to do, I thought that Kevin Costner was the star.
Dennis Quaid is the Kevin Costner of acting.
So I actually went to see this in the theater with my friends at the time, and we were all very, very excited to see it. I remember getting popcorn, which was a treat because, you know, you usually spent your money on seeing the actual movie, but I had a little extra money. We saw popcorn. We saw the movie, and that was my reaction to it when I
it
saw
it. It has a dragon.
It did have a dragon. Yes, it did have one. It just... It felt like it totally missed whatever the trailer was. Those expectations that trailer set up were pretty high. Like, I remember the image of the dragon going over the field and the shadow of it and being like, oh, that's fucking phenomenal. Like,
majestic.
That's gonna look so great. Yes. On the big screen blown up. That's going to be great. And I remember exiting the theater being like that. I feel like that was like a TV show or something that didn't have like many episodes. It just felt. But that meant that I was very, very excited to do it again. I remember in my mind, I remember this big epic scene where Sean Connery is a dragon spitting fire, like yells, I am the last one, you know?
Yes.
And I remember.
He just kind of, it's almost like a bickering between a married couple. He's just like, I am the last one. Why don't you do the dishes once in a while?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was excited to see it because I knew that I had these kind of overblown expectations when I was a kid. And I think my imagination has filled in some of those expectations as an adult. So I was excited to see it again to see if it lived up to my remembrance of it. What about you, Jay? And when did you first see it?
I also saw it in the theater.
Yeah.
I hated it.
Whoa.
I hated it.
You hate dragons.
No, I was also, like you guys, I was so hyped for it. I was really excited to see Dragonheart because, like you're saying, like the CG for kids our age, I think it was almost like, you know, when you hear like boomers talk about like Beatles albums, you're like, this Beatles album dropped and you thought it couldn't get any better. And then like the next one came out and everyone was, you know, waiting for it.
When you heard, I want to hold your hand, it made you want to hold someone's hand, man.
Well, no, but it was like, there was this sense like, you know, T2 came out and that blew everyone away. And then Jurassic Park
It was like magic.
Yeah, yeah, it was like, and there was this kind of escalation of like, what can they do next with this new technology? And what I remember, Dragonheart really felt like a part of that. Like when that dragon came on screen in the trailer, people were like, holy shit, we didn't even care that it was Sean Connery. Like, you know, probably because we were kids, I guess, but just like the visual of that, because there had been some dragon movies in the past, but they never really looked that good. Well, that was just a cartoon.
Still counts.
Still sadder. Much, much sadder.
Puff the Magic Dragon? Also sad. Most dragon stories are sad.
Yeah, there's Dragon Slayer. There was, like, Q the Winged Serpent. Like, they always had to kind of, like, shoot around actually showing the dragon.
Right.
So, yeah, I was pretty excited. And I did not like anything about it.
Do you remember what you hated about it? Like, specifically?
The only thing I specifically remember hating was David Thewlis as the villain.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, I remember just thinking, wow, this guy, because I don't think I'd seen him anything. I was like, this guy's the worst actor. And it was years later before I realized, oh, no, he's a really great actor.
Yeah.
That was just a dumb parts, you know.
Yeah.
it was an underwritten role and a silly movie.
I totally remember the villain being horrible, like not a great villain, because the only other corollary I had for this was a Kevin Costner movie.
You needed a Rickman.
You gotta go Rickman. Like, that was such a great adversary, and this kind of sniveling kid wasn't up to snuff for the Rickman wannabes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I felt. But so I'm interested to see how it plays now, because I like David Thewlis. Maybe there was something I was missing when I was younger, because that was the thing I remember specifically. It's just like, like you were saying, like, it wasn't a threatening villain.
Right.
It was just I didn't like anything about that. So we'll see how it holds up now. Everybody go watch Dragonheart, and we'll reconvene next week. But before then,
are we meeting here?
We're meeting here in the abyss of the internet instead of our fancy office building.
Yeah.
I'm back. Like, we're literally, we were recording in a nice office building downtown with nice microphones. I'm literally in the same basement that we started in or that we were in for a long time. I'm in the same cruddy basement drinking beer. Like, I feel very humbled.
At least you're drinking alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. It could be worse. It could be worse. Rob, you have an email from a listener you wanted to read.
Yeah, we got a nice email, so I thought I would share it with everybody. It's from Neil. It says, "Thank you!" Exclamation mark.
Oh.
It says, "Hey guys, found your podcast towards the beginning of quarantine and have been obsessively listening since. First off, thank you for providing excellent and entertaining content that has gotten me through the boredom of staying at home. You're welcome. But more than that, thank you for talking about feminist and LGBT issues on your podcast. I was so blown away that you guys talked about Robin Williams cross-dressing being the butt of most of the jokes in Mrs. Doubtfire and how and why that can be problematic today. I also really appreciate that you bring on LGBT guests to talk about movies that straight people may not care about very much, but were formative for LGBTQ people. I just finished the Death Becomes Her episode. As a gay person, it's really gratifying to feel represented and heard, especially by a podcast that's led by straight guys. I was excited to find your podcast because I love also rewatching these movies, and it's really just a huge bonus to know that you guys aren't going to gloss over or shy away from these topics and issues. It's also been fun because my fiance, who normally hates podcasts, like how, will also listen, which has given us something fresh and entertaining to talk about through quarantine. Thank you again, and cheers to many more episodes. P.S., super excited for the upcoming Stranger Than Fiction episode, which came out last week. Best wishes, Neil.
Aw.
Wow, thanks, Neil.
That's really awesome, Neil. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
And thanks for pulling your fiance into it, too. That's great.
Yeah, everybody pull your fiancés. Yeah, it was really nice. It is. And I'm glad to know that we're not fucking it up all the time.
Yeah, and also, I feel like an inherent, like, sense of guilt's too strong a word, but you know, we're three straight white guys. Like, no one needs to hear our opinions, really.
No,
but I'm glad to hear that it's you know, I think there is something, especially I think about that Mrs. Doubtfire episode a lot, because I think it's a good example of how, like, a lot of kids our age or people of our age were kind of like hardwired to have certain, like, reflexive biases, you know, because of certain things we were shown when we were younger.
Yeah.
So I think, that's one of the things that I truly am glad about this podcast for, is to kind of go back and look at how, you know, how certain entertainments may not have been healthy for kids and how to, you know, especially because I'm showing, you know, I'm in the process of showing movies to my kids that I saw as a kid, and it's like, I won't show them Mrs. Doubtfire. Why would I? Or not till they're older and we can, you know, have a conversation about it.
A very frank conversation.
Yeah. So no, that's great to hear. And also great to hear that people are listening to the show in quarantine and finding the show in quarantine, because, so many people are searching for stuff to fill time. So that's so nice to hear.
And we can, we can fill time. We can do that. No, that's really great. Yeah. I was thinking about that the other day when I was watching RuPaul's Drag Race. I don't know if you guys watched that, but like we were raised on like seeing a man in woman's clothes as a joke, which, and now just watching RuPaul, like it's so impressive. it's changed so much in my mind. And that's because of like the change in the culture, more than a change in me, I'd say. But it's, yeah, it's so nice to know that we're not fucking it up, like you said, Rob. Because, yeah, it's, we're very aware that we are three straight white men.
And I wanted to take a minute to talk about an upcoming reboot in the segment we call I Reboot.
Yes. Right.
Which reboot. Rob named. did you guys hear about this Scarface reboot that's happening?
Yeah, Oliver Stone is remaking Scarface with Al Pacino.
No.
Oh, what?
I was really excited for a second. That would have been amazing.
First of all, it's Brian De Palma who made
the original Scarface.
No, but it's Luca Guadagnino.
Right. From,
you know who did the Suspiria remake and Call Me By Your Name?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he is remaking it. I don't think they've announced the actor, but it's the Coen brothers.
Yes.
Wrote it.
Really? The Coen brothers did the script?
Yeah. Apparently. Or they're going to.
That's so crazy. I mean, yeah, it's watch that. There's some interesting things, though, on the net about the difference between a Coen brothers written script that's directed by someone else and like a Coen brothers script directed by themselves, and how the huge disparity that can be. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, I loved Bridget Spies. That was their writing, directed by maybe one of the best directors
some
ever. So I guess there's
Oliver Stone.
Oliver Stone. Yep. But yeah, that's,
I don't know. I kind of wonder if maybe people are just agreeing to do projects now because they think we're all going to get taken out by this plague.
So it's just like all stunt casting of projects. Like they're just like, yeah, let's do a remake of Scarface with the Coen
brothers. I would want to do like my dream project. I wouldn't want to waste time on something that's probably not going to be very good.
No, I just, you know, Coen brothers are thinking, like, joke's on them. Like, we'll all be long dead before that first draft of the Scarface is due.
So they don't have a cast yet?
I don't think so. No? I don't, you know. But, yeah, like you said, the Scarface itself was kind of a remake of
Howard Hawks'
50s movie. Something like that.
Yeah.
I could look it up on the tiny computer that's right here.
A good casting for that movie.
Like if they're doing the same, like Tony Montana, like who is the new Al Pacino?
Oscar Isaac.
Yeah. Oh. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a little old, I guess, but Michael Shannon?
Oh.
Michael Shannon plays a good bad guy. Except in that Superman movie. I'll find him, Lara. I'll find him. That was not great.
Yeah, is it anyone else? I can't. Who's the modern day equivalent of Al Pacino?
Chris Pratt, man. Chris Pratt all the way.
It's Adam Driver?
Are you?
I'm joking.
I think you should leave your own apartment.
I think you should leave.
Take your chances in the streets. yeah, I don't know. That'd be interesting to see. I don't actually even like the movie Scarface that much. I just thought it was an interesting pedigree of talents behind this reboot.
It's weird that that guy just got off making a reboot and now he's making another one.
Yeah, that's his thing now.
Yeah.
Fit an original. And isn't he doing a Call You By Your Name 2 as well?
Maybe it's a reboot.
I think they are doing a second one. Yeah, maybe they'll combine them.
By Your Name. Yeah. So that
maybe Timothy Chalamet becomes like a Coke kingpin.
And, he's Scarface.
Yeah.
So we all have like our pop culture blind spots, and maybe I shouldn't admit this as like a movie podcaster, but I've never seen Scarface.
Okay, I've never seen Scarface either.
Oh, Rob, you were holding out.
Yeah, what can I say?
Is it worth it?
Yeah. No, like I said, I don't even like that movie that much. I mean, it's worth it as like a pop culture, you know, touchstone, but I don't actually think it's a very good movie.
It got huge in like the 90s. Yeah. Like it was like a real cultural phenomenon. It came back and there was like a whole like gangsta sort of embrace of it.
Yeah, right. Mediocre movie, great dorm room poster.
Awesome.
Right beside my Dolly.
Dolly Parton?
Yeah, that's right. 9 to 5.
Well, that's it for our mini episode. We'll be back next week for a full discussion of Dragonheart. In the meantime, you can like and subscribe us on whatever podcast app you're listening to us on, and be sure to follow us on Twitter at Rewatchability, like us on Facebook, all that stuff. Dragonheart, let's do it.
If you want to become as famous as Neil, you can write us an email too.
Anytime. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll read it out on the show.
Rewatchability at Gmail. There you go.
Not if you say nice things.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.